since some months, we have a new reality at Dialogue. Some groups are growing in different countries of the world. One of them is Argentina. Juan Pedro Freire Afani is a guy and a young historian who got interested in Dialogue and wanted to start a group in his city, which succeeded also. We have the pleasure of having Juan Pedro with us at the seat of Dialogue this evening on the 8th of January 2026, and we'd like to ask you something about you and your activity and how it happened that you did this extraordinary work, whereas you also participated with your new group at the Conference of Hope in Rough Times of the last October 25. Mm-hmm. So, Juan Pedro, can you tell us about your provenience, your age, your work, your interests?
Okay, well, first of all, thank you. I am, like you said, I'm Juan Pedro. I'm 27 years old. I'm from Buenos Aires, Argentina. I studied history at the University of Buenos Aires, and I'm currently teaching secondary school history. And I've been a member of the Focolare movement my whole life, as well as my parents, my siblings. So I guess one of the elements of the ALOP was already close to it, which is the Focolare movement. And I've also been always very, very interested in politics. In my house, discussion about politics was always very, very present. So I think it was only natural for me when I reached adolescence to get more involved, to read more, to try to be more informed, to have positions about the things that were happening in my country and in the world and in my city. I think that's a little bit about who I am.
And what is actually your mental feedback? Because the Focolare movement has different expressions, let's say. Mm-hmm. There is the more spiritual, social asset, and you were talking also about your family, which was very politicized. What made that? And what gave it to you?
Okay, I think in relation to my family specifically, the important thing is that in a natural way, I don't think in an explicit way, but in an implicit natural way, the Catholic education that I got in my home and later in secondary school was, like I said, naturally intertwined with a way of looking at the world. So in a way, if I've reached certain political positions in my life, it's because of what I've been taught in my home in regards to what to think about injustice, inequality, poverty. So I think it's a very, even though I'm a socialist and a Marxist, or I consider myself that, it's a very Christian informed position in that sense. Like it arises from a Christian and a Catholic education my whole life. So I guess in this sense, when I first knew about Dialogue, this struck a chord with me, because me being a Marxist and being a Catholic, which at some point in my life, especially in my teenagers, I felt it as a bit of a contradiction. And I didn't really know how to deal with that contradiction. Then I worked through it. But when I knew about Dialogue, like 2025, I believe it was, 2024, it called to me, because I felt like it was something for me, because it was this search for a united path towards something towards changing the world somehow between Christians and between Marxists. So very much the two things that that I think defined me in the most significant ways, what I believed and what informed my whole life, and what I thought politically, and therefore the way that I thought about the world.
Wow. Listen, amazingly, you happened to build up a group of dialogue between Marxists and Christians, and in a pretty short way. How did it happen?
Okay, I think there is... well, when I first started interacting with Yalop, and you guys gave me this proposition of trying to build something similar in Argentina, I have to say at first I was a bit scared because I didn't really know how to come about and do something like this sort of alone, because I don't think there is a particular social calling for something like this, for a group of this sort. But I do think, first of all, that it wasn't me who did it. It was a collective effort with other people who supported, who lent their strength as well to do this. So I think that's the first thing. And it's obviously, yeah, I started with this effort, but it's not mine exclusively, not at all. It's something of several people. Of several people who got interested, especially I think because of the current context in Argentina, and also the context within the church or the Focolare movement in particular, where sometimes talking about politics is a bit difficult, and I think this is also very strange for people within the Focolare movement who like politics, because if we are a movement that strives for a united world, how come we can't talk about politics in a fraternal way? In a brotherly way with others within our same movement. And it's a topic that many, many times you just can't touch with other people from the Focolare movement because it's very contentious. So I think it's this spirit of some people that approached and wanted to make this effort. And yeah, I don't know if we started the group, but we are starting the group. I'd say we had a few meetings last year, and we managed to participate in this conference, like you said, in October with the other groups of Yalop around the world, especially in Europe. But yeah, I think we are in a path towards also finding what we want to do, how we want to define this group. I think the first few meetings that we had were mostly about understanding what Yalop is, this kind of dialogue, also who we are, the people that were there, who we are, what do we want. And I think these are the very, very first steps of this path, which is probably going to be long, certainly going to be difficult. Mm-hmm. But well, there we are.
Wonderful. Listen, you not only began the group or as a collective experience, as you said, but you also managed to organize a conference, so, and it was not so few people that you could invite there, mm-hmm. and have also scholars of a certain level, mm-hmm. which gave you input. What was your issue? What did you choose? The title was Hope in Rough Times, mm-hmm. Challenges in Environment, Politics and Economy. What did you choose for your country, your situation, your starting group?
Okay, so for our conference in Buenos Aires, we decided to give it a working title of like, we called it New Horizons, a dialogue between Christians and Marxists to find ways forward to the crisis. So I think the main idea of this day was to try to think, well, I think the title is pretty self-explanatory, but to talk about the ways in which Christians and socialist or leftist in general can work together, and what points we have in common to transform the world in a positive and a significant way. So yeah, we organized this conference with, I'd say, pretty good amount of people for this kind of thing. And we invited two scholars, as you said. One was Ruendri, who's a theologian and a philosopher, very, very renowned among the liberation theology scholars. He unfortunately wasn't able to be there because of a health issue, but we do want to do more things with him in the future. And then we had Hernán Oubiña, who's a political scientist, researcher, professor, well, etc. And I think his intervention was very, very poignant and very interesting, because, well, I think he started mostly with a historical telling of the common points between Christians and Marxists in Latin America. Historical and theoretical as well, right? Like citing experiences like Christians for Socialism in Chile, or the Sandinista Revolution in Nicaragua, or the movement of workers without land in Brazil, which emerged from the base communities of the church in Brazil, but also the works of intellectuals like Oscar Romero, like Leonardo Boff, like Enrique Dussel. So I think there is a very strong tradition of work and of thought in Latin America in this sense. And then I think it was also important that he remarked this common points, right? Like the idea of making a history of oppression. And in this sense, I remember that he said that Ruendri studied Christianity as a social movement, as a movement of liberation, of national liberation, of liberation of the poor, of anti-slavery. So I think there is a tradition there. Also of many socialists of the contemporary times that pondered the experience of like primitive Christianity and its common points with socialism or primitive communism, for example. And I think there was also a very interesting point about the dialectics of love and hate.
Mm-hmm.
I remember this was very important because he talked about, because we love humanity, because we feel that we are brothers and sisters, we hate oppression, we hate inequality, we hate this system of death that is capitalism. And also ecology. Especially nowadays, with after Laudato Si from Pope Francis, and with a very global consciousness of the environmental crisis. But he also brought some points from the biblical text itself. I don't remember the quotes right now, but some quotes from the Bible itself, talking about the importance of taking care of the earth, And then I guess there was also a very important point in thinking forward, and I really like this idea of bringing back utopias,
mm-hmm.
and thinking of utopias again, based on loving your neighbor, on eliminating hierarchies, on respecting life in all of its forms, on brotherhood, not just between humans, but also between the different species. And also the idea that this promised land is not some metaphysical future state of humanity, but it's something that we make right now in the path towards that. He brought a concept from the Guarani culture, this indigenous culture of southern Latin America. Of the tierra sin mal, the land without evil. There is a very important concept for the Guarani, and that it means this constant search for this paradise.
Mm.
That is not somewhere or at some other point in the future. It's in this search itself that it is, that we find it. And also I think he called it the pedagogy of catastrophe. The idea that these times of catastrophes, this time of crisis, has to be used to teach and to see the deep roots of the crisis and of the catastrophe, to see the causes of these problems that we have, and that we need to denounce it, and we need to announce also the other possible futures to this current moment that we have. And also, yeah, I think I also very very much liked, he said that we have to build a political alternative, a political movement that moves us and that gets us into movement with others, beyond the pragmatical considerations of making a program of action, but those with which we have points in common, those who are also thinking about deep transformation of reality like us, we have to get into movement with them, and in this movement and in this path we'll find ways forward. So I guess this was a little bit.
Thank you. I think you really managed to bring us this new wind coming from Argentina, and you gave also to us in Europe many important inputs to also to have hope, as you said, because if we think of Argentina, we actually wouldn't have hope. But as you said now, with the many points that you announced, I think it's you have to be positive and optimistic. And so I'm just curious for a last question. What goals did you put to the group, or you as a collective? What did you put ahead?
Well, I think our goal right now would be to consolidate our activity, to try to be more regular, and especially to find what we want to work into. There are a few ideas bouncing about, but I think this next year will be especially to find our pacing and to try to understand what this group can actually do. To build this kind of dialogue and this kind of action.
All right. So all the best to you, and let's keep in contact.
Okay, thank you.